You're listening to the MLS Fantasy Insider, bringing you weekly tips, tricks, and advice for the official MLS fantasy game. Hello and welcome to the MLS Fantasy Insider, our preview of round three of the 2024 MLS fantasy season. This episode is brought to you by the Orange Ball Company. When you have meteorologists who say you can't, the Orange Ball Company says you can. Sorry. Actually brought to you by our amazing MLS Fantasy Insider Patreon supporters. It's because of you that we are able to keep this project going. If you are interested in learning more about our patron and how to support the podcast, head over to patreon.com/MLSFI. I'm your host, Reed Connolly from MLSFantasyBoss.com, and tonight I'm joined by my partner in fantasy, Ashley Savage. We'd also like to welcome our special guest and a very familiar voice, Christian Ward from the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord server, our chief admin and keeper in We Trust there. I couldn't think how to
that's
make that much longer.
That's the official title.
It is, yeah.
It's on a plaque.
It is. It's somewhere, yeah. That's it. Keeper of the player poll. We have to add that in there. I don't share it with you. I just got it hidden someplace.
Yeah.
But welcome,
I have
guys.
The plaque. Yeah, it's not for you.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Christian. I know part of what we're doing this year is celebrating our 10th season and talking to people who have been involved with that. Christian's a newer voice on the show, but a big influence with the server and some of the things and a lot of the things that go on in the background there. Do you remember when you first got involved, Christian?
Like 2018 or 19, with the Discord and all that.
Yeah, and it was a small group of people who put that together. Not led by me, just people who were like, hey, I don't know if it was Christian or Older Girl or who reached out first and was like, hey, we got this thing. You want to come do it? I was like, yeah, okay, sure. That was kind of in the transition period out from that was Older Girl or maybe, but we were transitioning from Reddit to something a bit more community friendly. And so that was how that migration started. And Christian's done a lot of great work with the server, with getting it promoted and getting it structured and having it look cool and keeping it a fun and friendly place for everyone to come. We pride ourselves in that very much, don't we, Christian, that this is a non-toxic community. So at least a server.
I'm probably the most toxic member.
And that's saying something.
Ironically.
But thank you everyone for joining us. And happy as always to have Christian here. Let's though just start talking about fantasy because round two was a regular round. We were finished with regular round as far as fantasy goes, not necessarily as far as soccer goes for everyone, especially with that snow game that did have fantasy impacts. I'm sure we'll touch on that, but let's do a quick recap with how our teams did and just some players who impressed or general fantasy thoughts that you've taken away from round two, Ashley.
Yeah, a frustrating 88, which I know in this company will not be well received. But
campaign problems.
I hit a bunch of threes. Threes were my unlucky number this week. But I thank God, and I'll give Reed some credit here. I started this week off as a Gold captain. I was very intent on that. And as the week went on after the show, I got nervous about it. I just started having weird Spidey tingles that I don't know what he's done. He hasn't played yet. I know what Messi can do. He did it in two games in one round. Why am I captaining Gold? And I reached out to Reed with, I swear to God, like 10 minutes left, I think, before the roster's like locked. And I said, this is wrong, right? Like, and he kind of said, well, exactly what you say is right. We know what Messi can do. And, well, I'm captaining Messi, so do with that what you will. And so I switched the armband, thank goodness. And so I would have been much worse off if I hadn't. But my overall value is up to 107.5, which is pretty great. I won all my head-to-heads except for one. And I did drop. I ended last week at 21 overall, which is way too high. That's not where I sit. I like to just slide into the top 50 at the end of the season so I don't spend all of the year stressed out that I'm dropping and dropping and dropping. I am a climber and I'm content with that. So this is weird for me, but thank goodness I dropped down to 102. So now I'm sitting where I
In your
normally
happy
like to
place.
sit. Yes, this is much more my norm. So I feel not great about price, or sorry, not great about points. Pretty good about price and value, and pretty decent with my OR. Just because, like I said, I don't like to sit at the top. I have very little ambitions of ever winning the entire game. I think that's for people who play much harder than I do, but I like to at least be one of the top 100. That's what we talk about a lot, Reed and I. So to sit around that right now is a comfortable feeling. 21 freaked me out. Some players who impressed me, I don't think we can go through the show. I'll try to keep it light because I know I've become kind of an Inter Miami blowhard and Reed hates it. But Messi and Suarez were great. I don't think we can talk about this last round without mentioning them. That scoreline was not a prediction that I had. I even, I encouraged my partner in life and fantasy to move off of Jordi Alba, and luckily he didn't listen to me. I just didn't see that coming. Luis Suarez looked like the Luis Suarez I've watched play soccer, and I didn't see that Luis Suarez the first two games. So, I mean, I'm one that's always going to say I think that that's good for MLS. I understand that it's annoying how they've been able to build this roster, but it gives us one more headache to choose Suarez or Messi each week. Gressel, what a game for him to remind us all of the offensive contributions he can make. We know that of him. He really showed that this weekend. And so, yeah, that little trio over there in Miami was very much on display. Cucho, I think, should be in everybody's team now. And I say that as someone who hasn't had him the first 2 weeks, and I don't know why. I think that he should be a lock. We'll talk about that in player picks later, but that man's just showing up, and I'm very impressed, but not surprised. And then one little always a sounder shout out that I'll give here is Big Sam Adinerin for St. Louis is 2 goals in 2 games, and he was not on my radar as a goal scorer. St. Louis, is still a team that I don't know that I know very well in fantasy. They were a little streaky last year with Klaus out and Lovren out sometimes too. But Big Sam is a goal each game, so I think that that's definitely something to pay attention to. Some of my general thoughts, non-specific player thoughts, were Vancouver was a big disappointment offensively and defensively. I got to watch a little bit of that game before the Sounders game. Was not very impressed with them. Toronto's defense has 2 road shutouts against kind of decent teams, and I am taking notice. I don't know that we said that last year at all. Either of those things, 2 road shutouts or taking notice as far as Toronto. So I don't know what to do with it, but it's definitely something that I'm paying attention to. And then I know the two of you can pile onto this a little bit, but LA Galaxy look fun. LA Galaxy are fun again. And I mean, instinctually outside of fantasy, I kind of hate them, but in fantasy, I like them. And so it was definitely has been interesting to watch the point production, the lineup, the formation, all those things these last 2 rounds. So I'm definitely excited about the Galaxy, several players on the Galaxy from a fantasy perspective.
Hate is a strong word. Definitely, I have two opinions about Miami if I'm talking fantasy or MLS, but hate, I don't know. Catch
Okay.
me on the day. Christian.
Okay.
Well, this is probably the most frustrating week I've had in a long time. I gambled on LAFC in the snow.
No.
I lost. Yeah, I lost. Because I was forced to take their points too, right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any money left. I ended on 79 points, however, but I expected a lot more, and I dropped about 220 spots in OR.
Yeah.
I was like top 50 when I started the
Yeah.
week. Now I'm not.
Yeah.
Impressed me. I'd have to say the entire Galaxy attack. like to echo Ashley on this. Yeah, they're pretty fun. I have mixed feelings because I have Gabriel Peck in draft, and Vanny has benched him two games in a row. I also have Brugman, so like I'm not happy with Greg Vanny right now. But what they're doing is great. Special shout out to Diego Fagundes for being a very cromulent replacement for Peck until he starts, shall I say. I hope so anyway. Other players, I mean, I'm not going to talk about Pencil because it's obvious anyway. Other oh, Jovellic is very, very like benefiting from Pooge, Paintsill, whoever's in the game really, this season. It's really kind of outstanding how he's managed to actually find joy, because every time I saw him get on the field, it was always sort of like he was mad. Anyway, moving on. Lucho's fantasy output is insane. Like given the changes that we've experienced or coping with, I'm telling you, like if Lucho's not in your team every week, and I don't care that he has CONCACAF Champions Cup this week. I don't care one bit. He's in my team, and he should be in your
Me
team
too.
too.
Yes.
Same thing goes for Cucho, by the way. So both Uchos are essential.
Yeah, we'll get to the Ichos later, but currently the Ucho gotta have it.
So I have to say something about the Minnesota Gegenpress, because it is the Minnesota Impress, because I am impressed. Anyway, they,
All day, waiting all day for that one.
yeah, no, I just made it up on the fly, and it looks like it. Anyway, Minnesota has like, if in case you haven't seen a Minnesota game, Minnesota has implemented a very, very high press, and it is really disrupting attacks. Yeah, of course, Cucho scored on his on Saturday. Of course, he's going to score on everybody, but that's all they got. Everybody expected Columbus to come in and just wipe the floor with us, and we pressed and pressed and took away the ball and just completely, disrupted their attack, and they just caved. And we ended up scoring the equalizer in stoppage time in Minnesota fashion, which is always exciting. Anyway, Sandy Moreno picked up where Antony left off last week. I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't think Santi's all that great, but I think if you're looking at Portland, you're looking at, okay, so where are the points coming from in attack? It's those two guys, and Asprilla. So they could be a lot worse. They started the season a lot better. They could be a lot worse than they are, but they're not really bonus point earners. So I think you guys mentioned that last week. So I think maybe, unless you really see a good mismatch that favors one of those two players or those three players, you probably want to avoid them. They're pretty goal dependent. Anyway, I can't wait to see what Gabriel Peck can do with 90 minutes. And Minnesota, like I said, will be a force to reckon with once they actually have talent on the pitch for a change. They did all that this past 2 weeks. They got a win on the road and a draw at home against the MLS Cup champions, without three, no, without four of their best players. Anyway, last thing I'll leave you guys with is I wouldn't want to be Colorado this week, having to face all that angsty rage that LAFC has built up over the span of 6.5 days by that time. Colorado's in trouble. They can barely defend at home. LAFC is just gonna kill them if he's healthy anyway. That's my take on the LAFC game.
That was good stuff. So as for me, I had 78 points, which was not fantastic. Mixed results with the head-to-heads. Lost to Patrick by 1 point, which sweetest win, Patrick. Most difficult GOAT losses there in some of the head-to-head leagues, especially in the Fantasy Insider Hosts Invitational League. But my focus this week, which was my whole plan going into it, so I wasn't shocked that maybe I had a little bit lower score. Would have liked for it to have been a little bit higher. The midfield didn't quite produce for me as I had hoped, but I was going for price rises. That's what I was trying to get out. I brought in some players on purpose who I knew had strong first games that I had hoped would do a little bit better than they did in this round two, but I still saw some price rises. So I only had two players that dipped in price. Two other players canceled those out. Then I had three players who did not increase at all. Overall, increased by 3.0, bringing me up to 106.5 million, which I think is pretty respectable for going into round three for building your teams there. I've seen some people with more. That's awesome. I know Ashley has a little bit more as well, maybe about a million more than I do. But that's definitely, I think, a good range for people to be in as you're working on building the value. And that was my goal for this round. Also had some in those discussions with Ashley that we had right before there. I ended up not adding in Cucho to my team because, like Christian, I was going to roll the dice with that RSL game. Did not expect there to be as much snow as there was. And I've got to say, I am not unsympathetic to the feelings that many people in LA and in other soccer niches share about that game. So I get it, but I did roll the dice and got burned as well with this. So players who impressed me, as many others, I did not include Heal in my team because I was worried about the potential injury report that we saw, even though he was not on some of the last minute injury updates that came out from MLS. And he played the full 90 and got 7 points. So without getting a goal and assist, that is not bad for what we're looking for. I had kind of snubbed my nose at players who got 6 points without getting a goal and assist in that range. Sevens, I think, is definitely where we want to see. Six, I don't know, for me, is kind of on the borderline if we're hoping for. But if you're paying 10 million for a player, six or seven is probably not what you're hoping to get in either way. But it's definitely not a bad threshold for the new point system that we have right now.
LAFC don't play Colorado this week.
I didn't want to say it. I figured
Why didn't you
want
to say it?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't read your notes. I just heard you say it. And I was like, I'm not going to correct him. Someone will figure it out.
I put it in the notes that it was Colorado by mistake, and I didn't see it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Kansas
City. I still have LAFC.
RSL plays Colorado. That's the mix of it. It's the Rocky Mountain Derby, so we'll get there. Mm-hmm. We will get there. All right, moving on, though. Talked about a few players last week, and I'll mention some of them again during my little write-up. Herbers over Chicago. I talked about how he had a bunch of bonus points in round one, or had points in round one, but they were not from those bonus points. And in round two against Cincinnati, he didn't get a goal or assist, and his score was much lower. And he's one of the players that we'll mention throughout the show, where we continue to highlight the importance of the bonus point generation, especially this year with some of the stats removed. And so if players aren't generating those points, like people like Lucho, people like Cucho, or as that they said in the chat, the Mucho Lucho Cucho. If they're not generating those points, they're going to be much more inconsistent with fantasy than people have been in the past. And so Herbers was one of those with Chicago. On the other side, though, I'm also looking at Robert Taylor from Miami. I saw that he got another goal, had another good game. Game one and game three, he's done well because of his goals. So it definitely falls in that goal-dependent category. But I was impressed to see him because there is a strong chance Miami rotates this week due to their CCL games. And so at a cheaper midfield production, could be some good production to see who is not there. One I think is worth keeping an eye on, even with him being goal-dependent. A couple other players I mentioned last week, both over at Portland, Anthony and Williamson, as I said, very goal dependent, didn't have the bonus points. And we saw Anthony with no goals, boom or bust player. Williamson also didn't have those goals or assists, but had limited minutes on top of that. And so these are the kind of players, just underlying, they're like Herbers. Keep an eye on those stats. When you're looking at those players, click on them, go to full stats, scroll over, look for those key passes, look for those shots, look for those crosses, see what their underlying stats are. For if they're not getting those points, if they're not those target guys, like people like Cujo are, like people like Acosta who are doing the creation are. Those are guys you're going to have to question, because if they're not doing anything, you're coming up at twos and threes, and that's going to ruin your day awful quick, as a lot of people had this week. But it's still early in the season. We're still getting this stuff. We're still feeling it out and seeing what's going on. So it's a small sample size for a lot of people. And yes, I will make this. I see it is mentioned in chat, but I am very excited that DeAndre Yedlin has left Miami and is coming to FC Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I actually mentioned that to Ashley a week or two ago, like, Ashley, look at this. They got to unload money. Wouldn't that be great if Yedlin came?
No.
And she was like, nope. So he's going to retire in Seattle, Reed. He's going to
come at home.
And he's coming to my home. So there we go right there. Not, it is fantasy relevant, because I think that'll be a big increase for that position.
Yeah.
For fantasy wise, we'll see what happens. But yeah, just some of the quick takeaways that we have. I mean, a lot of the stuff you can see from the results. We'll mention that Tyler sent this to us as an update to what he had provided last week, talking about the results of home teams versus away teams. And this week it was switched around. We had, so home teams went 3 wins, 6 draws, and 5 losses. In week two. And so CCL teams went 2 wins, 2 draws, and 3 losses. So CCL still having the big impact. I wouldn't be so down on the home results anyway, because we mentioned the home field advantage and how it's real in MLS particularly. Comparing to other soccer leagues, it's easy to make this a more apples to apples. But other times we're comparing it to other American sports where we don't have the draw necessarily as the option. That's where it kind of comes as very black or white result. But usually when we're looking at the home field advantage for the teams, it's the chance that the home team comes away with points versus the chance of the away team coming away with points. So this is still a result where 9 home teams came away with points with that. Now, of course, it's 11 away teams came away with points, which is helpful, but it goes both ways. But that is what we're always looking for, is just because there's a home field advantage doesn't mean a win. It just means a better chance of that team coming away with 3 or 1 point out of the match. And so that's what we're looking for. And historically, it has still been true that that's where a lot of that happens. But this week, it's kind of crazy, and definitely worked out in RSL's favor, though. They are one of those wins. If you haven't already noticed, if you're watching us on YouTube, we have the graphics back up for what segment we are in the show. And so with hope that will be being updated as the podcast goes on, as the stream goes on. And so we'll be testing that up next as we get ready for our housekeeping coming up right after this. Hello, and welcome back to our second segment, our housekeeping segment for the round 3 preview of the MLS Fantasy Insider. So first, we're just going to give the quick update to all the patrons who are out there. Thank you so much for your support. The leagues are open. Everything is full. We're keeping full steam ahead. So happy to have your support. If anyone's interested in learning more about Patreon, how to support the podcast, it helps us with the prizes that we have. It helps with hosting fees. It helps with all the stuff that we do to try to keep access to the resources that we have available. You can head over to patreon.com/MLSFI and you can find out the details there. And it's been a couple of weeks now, so I will be working on getting the list of our supporters who are at the current tiers up on the website, so you can get some shout outs. And I'm going to try to record a special shout out to have as like our mid episode plug to make that a little bit easier this year. But thank you all, of course, for your support. Doing the quick league updates, because I skipped that last week to get some time for things to just get a little bit more normal. But in the Champions League, in our MLS Fantasy Boss Pro Rel system, the Champions League, we have 8 teams tied at 2-0-0. So that's 8 of 30. So whittling down. But in the Veterans League, we have 5 teams tied at 2-0-0. And then going to Homegrown, 10 teams tied at 2-0-0. And Development League, we have 17 teams tied at 2-0-0. So not quite to the point yet where we can mention who has the lead, because it will change pretty quickly. But a lot of people are doing very well at the beginning of the season. Moving over to our Discord head-to-head league, 54 teams are tied at 2-0-0. So guys are killing it there with that 200-player league. And then the Patreon head-to-head, 9 teams tied at 2-0-0. You guys are going to be tough challenge this year, tough play there. And then over at the MLS Fantasy Insider Experts Host Invitational League, which includes various personalities, MLS official employee. I think Doyle and Weeby are in there this year, and just other friends of the show and some of our Patreon supporters. We have 9 teams tied at a 2-0-0, but it is Boy Named Sue leading the pack. And I have a micro frustration here that I have reached out to Skylar about. In all previous years, I've at least been able to see a preview of a portion of the manager's name who was running that team. But this year it is not there. And all I can see are team names. So
I'm second.
Okay. So Ashley is second.
Just take that off your list.
I don't know in your book. So with hope, maybe that's something that will change, but and I can be like, yes, I actually know who people are, but yes, Boy Named Sue, team name, that is who is leading right now based on points. Yeah, I know. That's right.
Wojo.
That's Wojo.
Yeah, oh, I thought it was.
There we go. Well, good job, Wojo. Good
Wojo,
job,
Ashley, Wojo. Fantasy Soccer Data. I'm done after that.
We'll figure it all out.
Patrick.
I mean, I got people's names written down, so we'll get it up. That's where we stand in those leagues. So it's going to be very competitive this year, I can already tell, and that's the quick update right there. Moving on to our main housekeeping section, round 3 starts Saturday, March 9th at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time with a doubleheader. New York City is taking on Portland. New York City FC is taking on Portland, and Toronto is taking on Charlotte, both at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, this is a regular round, so nobody is on a DGW, but we do have one team on a bye, and that is Houston. And so if you are trying to stretch your budget a little bit, then you have plenty of 4.0 scrub options right there to activate any of the Aroos that you are looking for. If you're not sure how to do the switcheroo, the keeperoo, or the otteroo, then you can head over to the MLS Fantasy Boss website, or you can go over to the MLS Fantasy Boss YouTube channel, and there is a video for how to do the switcheroo updated for the 2024 season using round 1 as the example, but it should be pretty easy to translate that over to round 3. We do still have some CONCACAF Champions Cup. I guess it's CCC. I still call it CCL. But we have the CONCACAF Champions Cup going on March 5th. March 5th, we have Orlando versus Pachuca, and then we have Philadelphia versus Tigres right there. Then New England is playing on the 6th. Houston is playing Columbus on the 6th as well. And then we have Cincinnati playing on the 7th. And then Nashville versus Miami also playing on the 7th. Cincinnati's playing Monterey, so a little Vasquez reunion right there. Yeah. But Orlando, Philly, New England, Houston, Cincinnati, Nashville, all at home. Columbus and Miami are the away teams, but at least still in the United States. So not as far of travel right there. But those teams are playing. These are getting more serious. And so keep an eye on those lineups. Keep an eye on the fixture congestion, because it is definitely going to be impacting player rotations. Of most note, I know a lot of us are already talking about the impact to Miami, because the Open Cup did have a lot to play in when Messi and others started, and how much time as they were managed throughout that season. So keep an eye, as he has been a hot captain for the first 2 rounds. Even though it was a quick tap in, Christian, you want to read through the suspension and injury update brought to you by the mega reference from the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord?
Sure. We had a couple of big returns. Jesus Ferreira came back and played. John Tolkien came back, and Tolkien played, I think, most of that match, if not all of it. there are a couple of injuries. Christian Benteke was a late scratch due to a warm-up injury. That kind of nerfed a bunch of people I just saw in Discord complaining about that, which is a cautionary tale. If you put a player in and, you know, you expect big things from them, just make sure that you're monitoring Twitter for their team, because that happens a lot. Well, a lot more than people expect it to. There's at least 2 or 3 per year where the player gets hurt in warmups or is a late scratch.
Yeah.
Opoku hurt his lower leg. He's got a lower leg injury. Peter Stroud for the Red Bulls. That's Jared's brother. He's out, I think, with an injury. Two red cards this last weekend. Brian Ojeda from RSL got a red card, and James Sands for New York City got a red card. So both those guys will be suspended. Coming back off a suspension, I will just quickly read these two guys. Giacomo Vrioni is off suspension. He served his red card last week, and Matthijs Laborda is off suspension as well. And that's all I have. If you want more detail in all these injuries and absences and disciplinary actions will be updated throughout the week before kickoff in the mega reference, which you can find a link to that if you're a member of the Discord.
Can I throw out really quickly? I know we'll touch on it with player picks that it seemed confirmed through pressers that both Stefan Frey and Andre
Right.
Blake would return this week. And I reference that because their backups are two of the cheapest starting goalkeepers in the game. So
That's right.
it
There's
seems, I
always
mean, check
FOMO.
lineups, but it seems quite likely that both of them will be returning
Just
to
take
crush our
Alex at
dreams.
5-3.
Sure,
Problem
yeah. Why
solved.
not? Roll the dice.
Hey, I was at least happy to see Miazga come back this round. So
Yeah.
that was a great impact right there. Yes, and Christian is right to plug the Discord. It is a fantastic community with lots of help and lots of tips like this, including weather updates. We have a whole channel about weather, so you can see that right there, and lineups to keep up with those as they change and as they adjust. It is easy to join the Discord. It's free to join the Discord, and you can head over to mlsfantasyboss.com/discord, and that is where you can find the link to head over there and just get involved with the community. So coming up next, though, we are going to jump into the actual players who we are looking at going in to round three after this. All right, welcome back to our final segment, our player targets going in for round three. So let's start out, as always, with keepers and defenders. Ashley.
Yeah, I always apologize when I do this. I like to try to, get my team set on Monday, think about what I want. I have two keeper options, but this week I don't. So I'm just going to walk you through. And I think that Christian and I overlap. So, Christian, feel free to kind of throw in some input here if you want. But the keepers that I'm looking at this week based on matchups are Freeze for NYCFC. Home opener, home on that field. Zach McMath for RSL, because like Christian said, and I'm just going to pretend like he didn't say it wrong. Like Christian said, whoever has to face Colorado, I know that's not what he meant. Sorry, I'm done now.
Not even
I like Zach
close.
Mc I like Zach McMath, the way that Colorado has been looking. And then I'm also considering Schulte. I know that Columbus enters CCL this week. I just kind of like how they have looked, but what I don't like is how much that defense has rotated, and you can't predict necessarily who's going to start. And I don't want to spend the money on Sean Johnson. I think that's a valuable name if anyone wants to throw it out there, but I don't want to spend the money on him. So initially, before it had been confirmed about Blake and Fry, I was literally gonna roll with that Philly, the cheap Philly keeper, and then whoever I wanted. But now, with how price rise is going, having a keeperoo is the easiest spot for me to have a scrub. So I think it's the best place to not spend money. It's the least likely to see a price rise. Your keeper basically has to get a shutout. So for me, I'm
Or
probably
save a
gonna
penalty,
or save a penalty, sure.
like Freeze did in week one.
Exactly. So I do think that I will most likely go with a one keeper situation this week, just to spread that money someplace else. Because like I said, at this point for price rise and value, they have to get a shutout for the most part to make it worth it. So those are the three keepers that I'm looking at this week. Which, like I said, Sean Johnson is an asterisk. I just don't want to spend that money. This week, I'm doing something a little different defensively. I know Reed's talked about this in the past, but I'm going very budget friendly this week. And the reason I'm doing that is because I'm spending so much goddamn money on my strikers. So I'm looking at Caleb Wiley this week for Atlanta. He's 5.7, which I
Too
understand that's
expensive.
not like I was just gonna I knew you were gonna say but I was gonna say which I understand is not that cheap, but I like him. I apologize to Tyler and anyone else who would be offended by this, but Anelli is the pronunciation that I feel comfortable with for RSL. He's 5 million. He's produced quite well. He's consistent. I've seen him in other lineups. Harry-O with a emphasis that he could rotate depending on what Philly does for CCL. He and Mbaizo share the same role. He's 5.1 playing against the Sounders at home, even though they have CCL. My Sounders faith for scoring is very, very diminished. And then Toronto defense. Shane O'Neill is expensive, but he's definitely the one that's stuck out for me. I think there's a little bit of a former Sounders love affair going on there with Shane O'Neill, but that's who I'm leaning towards. And then I'm also considering some Red Bull defense. I like the Red Bull home game against FC Dallas, even if Jesus Ferreira breaks his way into that lineup more. And then I know this is crazy because it contradicts what I started this section, which was saying I'm going budget crazy, but I'm considering leaving room for Gressel if Gressel starts. I don't expect it. It's not necessarily a matchup I feel like I have to have him for, but depending on what they roll out for CCL, Miami at home against Montreal, obviously other factors come into that, and it's a late game. So I'm not sure it's going to be possible. I don't think that's who you should build your team around this week. But he had such great offensive production last week, it's hard for me to completely ignore him.
So Freese being a big go-to, and I know he's also on your list, Christian, so feel free to use this as a transition if you'd like. What is it that is attracting you and many of the other people that you've seen to him as a top candidate? Because he hasn't kept a clean sheet in the first two rounds. Portland has scored. So is this something against Portland, or is this faith in New York City going into this game?
To me, I'll go ahead and grab at that first. To me, it's more of a comment on Portland's traditional road performance, especially on a small field. They play on a small field too. I think Portland is the most equipped to handle Yankee Stadium because of the tiny, and I don't think it's talked about enough, tiny field that the Portland Timbers play on. So I do feel like they handle that baseball field the best. But I like Freeze for a couple of reasons. He's not cheap, but he's affordable and he plays first. So if you want to keep a Roo, I think that that's a good place to do it. And he has points from the penalty stick, if that makes sense. So it's still contributing to him. And I don't hate New York City's defense. I think that they kind of had a better allure to them coming into the season necessarily, but I think that it might just be the first draw and the anti-Portland in me, but I don't know. What's your draw towards it, Christian, or towards him, Christian?
Towards Freeze.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is that if New York City wasn't coached by a gym teacher,
Yeah.
I think they'd be a lot better.
Uh-huh.
I like Freeze this week. I also like Lloris, McMath, these guys playing at home. Always, if you can, pick a goalkeeper that's playing at home. All right, so yeah, I agree that the smaller fields with Portland and New York City, Portland's probably the best. But I'll tell you what, they have to fly all the way from Portland all the way to New York City, and that's a long flight, and that's going to disrupt them. So I don't know if that's, I think to answer Reed's question, I think it's about 50-50. He could keep a clean sheet or he couldn't. It all re really depends on how much Portland really wants it, Anyway, I'm not having any of those guys. I'm actually going to go with Daniel because. Because he plays at home, he's the cheapest home keeper. And like you, I spent all my money up top in attacks.
That's so
So,
much money.
I mean, just the upside of spending that money on a goalkeeper just isn't there, like you were saying. The other thing I'm doing is a reverse fantasy mullet, which means I'm going cheap at the back, just like Ashley. I have Harriel on the bench, even though he's a rotation risk. He's 5-1. I have Anelli as well. I have Campos, though. That's the big difference. Campos is 5-7, and I
Yeah, I
know
like
that
him.
I know that I said that, what's his
About
face?
Caleb Wiley, who's the
Yeah.
exact same price.
But I have way more faith in Campos's ability to actually get into the attack as a
He looks
fullback
good.
than I do with Wiley, if he's not playing on the wing. So basically, Wiley's only good if you're looking for a clean sheet, or if he's subbing in because they're injured on the wing and they need him up there. That's the only time Wiley's ever produced. So Campos, on the other hand, at the same price, you have a later fallback in Campos, and you also have a much more attacking fullback than you see pretty much anywhere in the league. The vast majority, I know there are more attacking fullbacks, but he is the next best thing to Palacios that they could have found, I think. So he had a stinker last week because, of course, he was slipping and sliding all over the snow, but whatever. I still have faith. But anyway, and to round out my crap show of a defense, I'm taking Paul Maurice because he's 5 million.
Sure.
Do I think that Paul Maurice and Daniel could keep a clean sheet? I think there's a 45% chance, reasonably. I don't think there's over a 50% chance.
0.33, beating, of course.
0.33. Why do you say that? Did you see
That's
that somewhere?
a wow joke.
Oh,
That's
sorry.
what it is. It's a Leroy Jenkins wow joke. There we go
Completely
there.
missed it. Sorry, dude.
That's okay. It's okay. No, thanks for those
Yeah.
good insights. And one that we're going to share from chat, Gene, our resident New York City fan, did share that Portland is undefeated at Yankee Stadium, 3-0. So take that as you
Did I say
will.
Paul Marie? I meant, sorry.
No, go for it.
I meant a Portland defender.
There you go. There you go. But yes, take what you want. Portland undefeated there. No, I think it was a good conversation to have about that because he has been in a lot of lineups. Definitely is the early game. And normally it would make sense to have one of these two keepers because Freese or Johnson, because of that early game. But with it being so early in the season, it is tough to justify that extra spend right there. Johnson definitely being a viable candidate with how Toronto's season has started, not just, as you said, Ashley, against two pretty good teams, two CCL teams is who they've performed against. Take that as you will if you think those teams have gone lighter, but based on their lineups, I would not say that they have. But yes, the price is definitely there. And if you do decide to go with McMath as an option this week, I know he's another one that's been pretty popular. He looks like he'd be set for a price rise as well, especially with that result from last week in the snow as well. So some bonus points there if you are still working on building your budget, which we all are. We've not gotten to the point yet where it's just throw it out the window, but definitely go there. But yes, this is definitely, I am solidly in the team of you don't need to do a keeperoo. This is a place where you could easily save your money. Just go ahead and grab yourself Valdez from Houston, 4.0 on a bye, not going to play. Put him on your bench, set and forget, and just roll with whatever keeper that you have. If you think you might be able to do a keeperoo and you have that extra money you're going to save into your budget, I think that's a mistake, but you do you. This game's about having fun. Start with one of your early game keepers on your bench. Still put Valdez on your field so you can replace him at any point with whichever keeper you would like to have as long as their team has not started playing it. So that's how you get that set up. I think you guys are on point with a lot of the strategies that you talked about with your defense. I know I'm also looking at an Atlanta player as well. For me, it's coming down between Wiley and Lennon. Price points are different right there. I have too much money spent on my defense right now, I believe, so that will likely change for me. But I am still trying to do some of the balancing act right there. But I think Atlanta has a good shot going against New England, especially with some of the CCL game that they had. Then they were rested last week, Atlanta did. So fresh legs coming in right there. But Lennon Wiley, depending on your budget, is someone who I think is definitely worth that shout. On the wings, some good chance historically at having some of that bonus point production. And we'll see what happens right there. I have my note here, Ashley, just to let you talk about Philly and Seattle. Sure. Is this an option? You said Blake was coming back. Is there a chance that some of these cheaper Philly players could be that option that they want? Yeah. Or is Seattle going to upset everybody? Are we betting against Seattle?
I mean, I'm the first to do it when it seems fantasy viable. I think it's either Panda or Christian in the buildup to this week. I had said, I don't know that I love Seattle defense. I wouldn't double stack Seattle defense. And they proved me wrong, which I'm thrilled about. That's the nice thing about betting against the team you love, is when they prove you wrong, you're still pretty content with it, right? I don't anticipate a rally from Seattle, but what holds me up is the Champions League, right? Is Philly traveling and being in the Champions League.
Yep.
Seattle should get Stephen Fry, probably Joao Paulo, and possibly Albert Rusnak back. But Pedro de la Vega might be hurt. Rui Diaz wasn't starting last week because of a knock. Not a traditionally prominent road scoring team, especially when playing Eastern Conference opponents. So for me, I think the kicker is CCC, but you know, Philly's been leaky, but I've watched this Seattle team every minute of the season. So I can tell you I'm not doubling up, but I have a Philly player on my bench that, you know, could have a price rise if he hits, and if he doesn't, then I'm thrilled. So, you know, I'm definitely not betting against Seattle, but I think what Philly puts out for the Champions League game is an indicator, but the data has shown that those Champions League teams have not performed as well on the weekend. So I know I'm very much like two-siding it here, so I apologize for not really picking one.
It's the full picture.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have either player, either team on mine, so I don't feel confident enough in that. But if you are going to go with one, having that player on your bench is 100% where I'd go. Mm-hmm. I do currently have a New York Red Bull defender on my team right now, but I am on the bubble with Nealis, and that was just because he was a little bit cheaper than some of the other targets that I was looking at. But I'm on the bubble with New York Red Bull defense right now because I like them. I had a player previously, but Dallas is doing very well at generating shots. And that is what concerns me about that, is it's looking at those bonus points going through it up there. Dallas is in almost at the top, maybe number four overall in shot generation so far this season. So that is just a better chance of getting that production. And so I do have a concern that while they may do very well, they may come away with the victory, they could have something leak in. And I'm hunting for clean sheets. That's where a lot of us are doing right now. And so do I have a better option with another player for clean sheet hunting, or do I have a better option for a player who will give me a price rise? That's sort of what that's coming into. And some of those cheaper players are what's going to help free up the bench. But again, I do have too many expensive players. I have Miles Robinson on my team right now. Not sure about what will happen with Cincinnati since it's not been what I had hoped first couple of rounds with some of the pressure they've come out, but Robinson and Miazga being there has been great. Robinson with the clean sheet in the first round, with the goal in the second round, absolutely going to get a price rise in this round, regardless of what there had to be a lot of crazy happen for him to not get a price rise. But 7.5, very expensive. Not what I'm looking at right now. I do have a Toronto player, Shane O'Neill, on my team as well. As Ashley mentioned at the top of the show, but we'll mention it again if you skipped over that. Toronto have not conceded in the first two rounds against a couple of the pretty good teams. So going against Charlotte, which has performed, I think, better than some of us expected at the beginning of the season, but this is going to be the best chance that Toronto has for 3 points coming out of these first three games. So I think having coverage there is definitely a good idea. And if you're thinking about that, definitely go for it. Same thing about why we were talking about Johnson at the top of the show. That's just a lot of money to spend for that position. We've talked about San Jose, and I think after Vancouver's performance, not what we were all expecting, and so that gives us a little bit more faith in that. I know I had to leave because of Babe Ruth getting sick last week, but I was going to caution against Vancouver because they've just never held that clean sheet for me whenever we're going out there. They're like the whole mm-hmm. team is like my Barrios when some of that stuff happens with their defense, and so I was not surprised. I did not have any of their defenders on my team last week because I did not have any faith in that. But so I think San Jose does have a decent shot. So if you have those players on your bench, I think it makes sense. The other team that I want to tie in for a keeper and talk about some defender options is, as you were saying, Christian, that frustration built up, but LAFC, I mean, I think Lloris can tie in with another defensive player right there. Sporting Kansas City, who they are actually playing this round, is just middle of the road in some of their shot generations. And so if they're not putting up a lot of points and LA is going to be coming in there strong at home, there's some definitely good options there. Not all of them cheap, though. But I think if you do have some of that money, you want to splash it on someone, LAFC could be an option. They might get a Hollingshead or someone like that. You have some of that offensive option.
What do you blame?
Yeah, I've liked Hollingshead for a long time as well. I do. Yeah, I like Hollingshead for a long time.
I know. I just no one else can talk about him except
that's not.
Blaine legally owns the mention rights.
That's not fair. Rule.
I'm joking, and he's cheaper than Campos.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean Campos is 5.7
mil.
Hollingshead's 5.6. Yeah, Aaron Long's 5.9. So I mean,
well, let me just switch him out then. I kind of assumed it.
You've got some sub-6 players right there, depending on what you want to have budget. But yeah, there's a lot of options that you could have there in the background. And of course, I have Milanda on my bench, 5.5. He's gonna get another price rise as well. I don't think that they're necessarily gonna get the clean sheet, but he's one I may change to. But I have him right there right now simply because I'm expecting 4 to 5.4, 5 more coming out of him. And after the third round, I'm done with him. I mean, that's what it is with our 3-round average. After I get this, what I'm hopeful of 1.5 million out of him completely, then I'll move on to someone else as his average starts changing. But
who are you talking about?
Milanda.
Milanda?
Yeah.
I think he's pretty good. Yeah.
They've had good results. But again, I'm writing that for price changes right now. So he's
Charlotte looks pretty stout, but I'm not sure that didn't have a lot to do with how terrible Vancouver looked anyway.
No, yeah. Exactly. Like I'm riding this for some more price gain with him. So if he comes out with a good, he came on off my bench for 5 points. So that was great for him last week. So it was all good. But yeah, so that's what we're looking at. A lot of good options right there. You can definitely go a lot of ways with your defense. I will say at this point though, Blaine sent this note in. If you look over at the Dream Team, we have 4 defensive players that are there, but it could have easily been 3 because Miles Robinson had 10 points, but there were other forwards who also had 10 points. So you don't have to invest a lot in your defense. You could easily just have 3 defenders there and roll with that, or have 4 players and try to make some sort of an Aru option. But money in the front, that is a lot of where points are being produced. Forwards are just racking it up if you have the right situations. But you don't have to right now. I think like Christian is looking at, some of that budget defense is really helping you put your money where you go. So you could easily have a 3-5-3. Nope, a 3-4-3 for what could have been with the fantasy lineup right there. So, all right, enough about defenders and keepers. Let's move on to midfielders. Christian, who are you looking at?
Well, I think you got to take Almada this round at home against New England, who have not exactly kept the ball out of the back of their own net that easily. Weren't they lit up in week one for like, were they, was it 3-1 or 4-1 or something like that?
There's a red card, but yes.
Yeah, it was a red card. What did they do last week?
Nothing. Looks really boring.
Yeah. Okay. So Almada's on my team. Yeah. Emil Forsberg. He did not have a great outing last on that. What was it? Saturday?
Round 2, yeah.
But he had a terrific first round away. Yep. He's against Dallas. I don't like Dallas's defense necessarily. So he's on my team. Lucho has to be on your team. If you can afford him, he's got to be on your team because, you know, he's the Energizer Bunny. He's not going to tire. It doesn't matter who's in the team with him. He's going to create stuff. And, you know, like this guy is what, averaging almost 10 points, 9.5 points a game. And creating without any like goal or assists. He's getting like 6 to 8 points or whatever, 6 to whatever. I can't remember what he got first week. And then right now I've got like Paintsil there as a placeholder. I like Paintsil. I think he's just going to generate, what did he generated only one bonus point this past week. But before he was on like 5 or 6 bonus points, but they're going to be away again. And that is against Nashville. They might actually be pretty tight. Keep it tight as our friend Isaac likes to say. So that's kind of an iffy pick for me. At 9 million, though, I have options to pivot. But, you know, he's just sort of a default late game fallback right now that I'd like to have. On the bench, I've got Diego Luna for 7 million in a kind of a rivalry match. The Rocky Mountain Derby, I think it's called. Derby. Sorry.
Derby.
And for 7.7, though, it's kind of like a boom bust play. So is Luna, frankly, is a boom bust play. Sure. He's on my bench.
Yeah.
But there's another RSL attacker, and Gomez Andrade, who just wiped the floor with LAFC. Honestly, I could go either way. I think Andrade's probably positioned better. Luna didn't look very good in the snow, so who knows? Who knows what happens? But those, I would definitely consider one of those two. I would also definitely consider somebody like Diego Gomez as a late fallback for Miami, even though they're playing. Here's the reason you shouldn't take Miami, okay? And I'll just say it right now. They're playing late Thursday night, like 8 p.m. Central Time, Thursday night against Nashville. So that's 9 p.m. there, the time they'll be playing it, against Nashville. And if you guys remember last year, Nashville's just going to be up for this. Like Nashville, you know, played them the hardest that anybody played them last year. And so I expect there to be a dogfight in that CCC match. And I don't think any of those guys are going to be taken off early. I don't. I think you're going to have disabled Suarez. And, you know, like Messi's going to be like sweating more than ever. And I worry for these guys' heart health. I really do.
Sure.
So anyway, the point is I highly doubt that you're going to get 2 90-minute matches in a row out of these guys 3 days apart. It's not going to happen. There, Suarez probably won't even last a half if he even starts. Messi will probably go 60 to 70 minutes tops. Not worth the fantasy pick, especially when Nashville has a pretty decent defense and mm-hmm. they're going to be playing them hard in the midweek game. But, you know, you've got them up against Montreal, who has also got a pretty decent defense. I mean, they're like the Toronto of they are in Canada. Hmm. Anyway, they're like the Montreal.
They're like the Toronto of French Canada.
They're like the Toronto of Quebec.
Mm.
You know, we have people in Canada who listen to the podcast, and they're going to get you this week. So
yeah. That wasn't a dog.
I fully get that. Montreal has proven that they can keep the ball at the back of their own net. So
yeah,
saying, look, it's not going to be an easy match for them. That's why I'm pretty confident in fading these guys. And why Gressel is just don't do it, Ashley. Don't.
I don't think I'm going to.
Yeah, it's too expensive. I'd
like to know that I could.
It's a very expensive two-pointer.
Yeah.
Take it from me. I'm an expert in expensive two-pointers.
Well, I agree with you about a lot of things. I definitely agree with you about Forsberg. I loved him week one. I got to watch. That was one of the only other games I got to watch. And so I had really high ambitions for him round two that did not pan out. But I still really like him. Home match. I agree with you. I don't love Dallas's defense, but I also don't think it's a terrible defense. So I would really like to see what his home debut looks like for Red Bull. He was one of the first on my team. I could be talked into Puig Pain still either way. I'm currently going Puig. The points I know, I watched Payne still. I see his point production. He's also price rising, but I'm going with the guy that I know, the one who takes PKs, even though he already missed one this year. I also threw Almada in real quick, very quickly, and I agree with everything that you had to say about him being a part of a team based in New England. I do agree with you about Lucho. He seems to be the one who is, I don't want to say is benefiting, because that's not necessarily fair, but he's point producing without goal contributing. And so that's something that I can't look away from. However, I think that it's important to have a fallback in the Nashville LA Miami game in case he doesn't start in MLS. I think he'll definitely start for CCL, but will he start for MLS on the weekend? So
Lucho?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him get rotated before. I know we haven't seen him get rotated this year. I think it's always important to factor in as we get deeper into CCL that people might get rotated. And he's one who, when rotations have occurred, is one to get rotated. So all I'm saying is I have him. I have him, but I think it's important to have a backup plan, and there's not that many games to choose from. So again, not trying to talk anybody out of him, just saying have a backup and just in case. But honestly, I feel like he could come in 60 and still be worth it, but that's not something I would gamble on.
Is Lucha gonna sit out?
So when it comes to Lucho, I think it's a far less chance of full rotations missing a game, right? But you might see minutes managed.
Right.
However, that hasn't typically been subbing on. It tends to be subbing off. And so he'll start the game to have that biggest impact that he can, and he'll then come off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm not trying to magic ball predict or anything. I'm just saying with where that game winds up and the fact that they have CCL, if you don't have a backup plan, I just encourage one.
The Monterey game is going to be one to keep an eye on if you're interested in Cincinnati, because that, of course, is huge with Vasquez coming back, who's been doing fantastic with scoring while he's there. And so I don't want to say rivalry, but there's some connection there wanting to do well. If it starts to go, and Cincinnati has made it clear that they're here to compete for trophies, all of the trophies. They made it clear their dissatisfaction with the decision about US Open Cup. They are here to play, and they made that attempt last year as well. So, I mean, I think a strong lineup will start against Monterey, which will include Lucho there. It's a home game, and so he's there. Has some time, 3 days after that to rest, will be at home, so don't have to worry about the travel. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very likely that he starts the DC game, which he has history with as well.
Oh, big time. Team.
but potentially could be a later sub out during that game,
Sure.
depending on what everything goes. I mean, he could leave the Monterey game a little bit
Yeah.
early if the writing's on the wall and Noonan wanted to be like, well, let's at least save some of those legs for
Yeah.
today. So, I mean, but keep an eye on that for sure.
Sure. My only other mini that I'm looking at is Espinoza. That I just wanted to throw that out there. I have no ex long explanation, but that's who my fifth midfielder is at the moment.
The other question that we got about related to Cincinnati, since we're on the topic, is will Yedlin start for Cincinnati?
Maybe.
I think it's very likely we'll see Yedlin doing something this weekend, either if that's maybe a
Yeah.
sub coming on during the Monterey game just
Right.
to get some more reps with the team. He might not be a starter, but I don't see why he couldn't to come in. If he's feeling comfortable with the system, I don't see why he
Yeah.
couldn't come in to
I mean, he
play
will at some point, maybe
right
not
at
this
the
weekend.
beginning. He's a clear improvement over who we have there right now.
We
So,
know how you feel about Alvis Pup.
not a fan.
How do you
So
feel about Brett Halsey, though?
he has been good depth. I am
Yeah.
happy to have him as a third or a potentially a second depth option.
Yeah.
So,
I think you should trade him to Minnesota.
I like having some depth. I
Right
like having
back
some depth.
hunting, clean sheet hunting. Christian does it all. Who
So let's go.
do you?
So who do I like? So we already talked about my Lucho question that we have right here. Ashley, you mentioned Espinoza. I asked the question in our Discord chat
Yeah.
today about what the Espinoza love was, because he is not in the first draft of my team. And a
Okay.
lot of this is built upon his production from last year and what he does with set pieces, what he does with crosses, what he does with some of that assistance. And
And
I
he was a
think
slow start last year, let us remember. He had a slow
I do not remember
rise
that.
to points. Oh, I do.
Oh, wait a
And
second. No, he didn't. You're
yes, he
thinking the year
did.
before. Last year, he just completely killed in like the first, because I had him in draft and I like
Okay,
shot
well,
right. Yeah.
I believe you over me then. I just remember there being a
Yeah,
recent time
banner
where
year
he
last
was
year.
a very slow start, but I was still very on the SB train and he just wasn't producing for me. Sorry, Reed, we interrupted you. Please
No,
continue.
it's and so this is where when I mentioned at the top of the show about where you put that line of what you're getting out of your midfielder. So round one did not do very well coming away with just 3 points, but round two against Galaxy, 1 point from passes, 2 points from key passes, 1 point from crosses. Would definitely like to see more key pass production from him because that's been a very good bread and butter
Yeah.
stat for us this week. But having those a base of 4 points right there. If he can hit that consistently and crosses, he was a leader, as was pointed out by Panda in our chat last year without a goal and assist. At first, I said seven. That was where you want to look for. But I think six is on that bubble. Like if I'm getting some 6 points there, but at the six, I want to see the price. And at 8.5 million, getting 6 points for no goals, no assist doesn't feel as bad as getting 7 points for 10 million, which actually that doesn't feel bad. I like seven. I'm gonna take that back. But getting 6 points for 8.5 million doesn't sting as much to say. So I understand that we've had that glimpse of the production from Espinoza. There is hope that that is going to be things to come based upon his previous production last year. And I think also part of what's weighing in here is a less than stellar start from what we saw from Vancouver last week as well. So I totally get Espinoza. I am mulling through him as well because he was not in my first draft. And I think those discussion points make sense for why he is definitely a viable option for the team. And if you guys are still struggling, Ashley, I mean he's got a nice little run of games coming up where this could just be the start of some form
For
for
sure.
him. You had mentioned Diego Luna, Christian. I worry about his underlying stats, though. That's one where it's, again, smaller sample size, well, larger than some. But I do worry about some of those stats. Not a big point investment, though, going with that. Same thing with Gomez. They're both super cheap if you're trying to fit the budgets to go with there. And then maybe Heal's a dark horse here that we haven't really talked about, but he got seven from not doing
Late in
anything
that game, but yeah, he
late,
sure did.
late
Yeah.
in that game.
Yeah, but
They,
Heal's what, 10 million?
he
He's
is, he is. And
money.
that's a bigger investment, for a team that's on the road to Atlanta. But those have been some crazy games in the past. He is not on my team, but I'm just talking.
Scored against Atlanta within the first like 5 minutes of that match last year.
That's right. Sure. That's right. Again, going over options that we're talking about through here. So these are some people that might be on the radar, at least for you to include in your thought process. Otherwise, I like a lot of the options that you guys have mentioned. A lot of the names have been mentioned in chat, which I'll check real quick. Yep, I think we've covered a lot those options. So let's move on to forwards. Ashley.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly kind of feel like we could make this a group discussion because we all typed the same four names. We're all going to spend money on every single one of our strikers. And we're looking at Cucho, Gigi for Atlanta, Buonga, and then Chicho for RSL. So for me, it's just who makes it. I'm starting all three. At least that's my plan. I don't know if that's yours, but I will be starting all three. And it's just kind of trying to decide which one of those four I want. I'm currently leaving out Chicho, but in the past, Chicho has been more productive for me than Gigi has. Gigi tends to just blank for me. And I think streaky is a good way to have described his goal scoring and goal contributions last year for sure. So, and they, you know, they missed round two. So it's an even smaller sample size, right? So how do you, like I said, that's the three of us are looking at, but who are you leaning towards and why?
Christian.
Well, it's right now I've got Cucho, Buonga, Giacomakis. Giacomakis is on my bench because I don't trust him.
Exactly.
But he's 7.7. And that opens up, you know, having a $9 million fallback.
Sure.
But, you know, I do prefer Chicho Arango.
Yeah.
Over Giacomakis because he's way more consistent and he just plays with the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got it. And so I just, you know, I wish I could fit him in, but I can't.
Yeah, I can't. I'd have four strikers this week if I could.
Totally. I'd have five. I'd have five. Let's be honest. I'd have zero. We got to talk to Skylar. You know,
sure. I got to look into it.
We need the two, what is it? The 2-5-4.
The 2-5-4.
Reed, what are you going to do? What's your look?
One defender scrub.
So, yeah, I'm definitely looking at those players right there. Cucho, for the reason you've said, he's just always producing. Arango is definitely going to get a price rise after the last couple of games that he has, and going up against Colorado is really good chances for him. So that's a huge game for them as well. So I like that very much. The third player, it's up in the air. I think Giacomakis is a great shout out. Definitely fits a budget a little bit more if you're trying to save some money. But we've only had one game. He's had minus 3,000. He didn't get mm-hmm. any bonus points with anything. So if he's not mm-hmm. going to be generating those shots, that's a bit of a concern right there. I think that Belonga is going to have a better day of it against Sporting Kansas City to at least get that. And as Christian mentioned, we'll be very furious there. But those are definitely the four top ones that people are looking at right now. But there are others. I mean, Bupenza is definitely in the mix right here. Got a goal mm-hmm. last week. He's gotten a bonus point each week from shots. So he is generating, again, CCL though. See what those minutes are. He does tend to get subbed later in the game. He's not doing the full 90s right there. But I think he is a shot. DC gave up three goals gave up one goal to Chicago in their 3-1 victory. And Chicago has not been amazing. And they gave up two goals last week to Portland, which we had some questions. So DC has been open, and Cincinnati has been putting up shots, especially with Lucho right there. Mupenza is, they are frequently back and forth there, just ping ponging the ball right there in the box. So options right there. Going back to the top of the lineup, though, against Charlotte, Insigne for Toronto could have an option. This is probably more of a darker horse option right there, since Toronto hasn't had a lot of options or results, but some potential there from production. The big question, though, is the Miami question, which I think you all covered well. We've mentioned before here.
Yeah.
I've seen people with Messi, with Suarez, with both, and it's just comes down to rotations. Everyone who does not have a Miami player is worried about the rotation of what's going to happen. Now, does Messi only need 20 minutes to make magic? Sure. Who knows what Suarez could do with what's going to happen? But that's what everyone is worried about this week, is rotation and how those minutes are going to be managed. And there appear to be enough other viable options where people are willing to bench those players to go for someone else. And for me, I agree. I think you have some comparable options of what you could swap those players out with a higher chance of rotation, as we know will come. It will come this year.
Also,
does it happen at home?
Well, that's if they weren't the last team to play.
100%.
Because, and that's what makes it really tricky. I think that's why a lot of us didn't go, not a lot of us, that's not fair to say. I think that's why I, especially, and people I converse with, were off heel. There was an injury rumor with him as well that contributed to it, but he was the lone Sunday game. And so that's a lot of money to spend on someone that might not start, because you have no fallback. There's not a single other player that I want to pick up from New England Revolution besides Carlos Hill, right? And I wasn't eyeing Toronto. I guess there were more options there, but that wasn't what I would have wanted to do, right? So it's the same with Miami. I will say, and I think I'll keep saying this, probably every episode we just get, I'll get a little tally thing I can hang on the wall back here. But Messi is Messi. And so even having him be in that 18 concerns me from a fantasy perspective to not have him, right? And I fully abide by that. That's what I'm seeing this year. That's how I felt last year. But he's so much money for a maybe, where the only other people I could tinker to except for him are Montreal midfielders who I can't name. And I mean, who? Diego Gomez, right? Like, which is a viable bench play, but that's not someone that I want to downgrade from $11 million Messi to. So I think the timing of it is what makes it very difficult. I also think we've talked a lot about Suarez. He's going to hit and he's going to not. And I think if you see both of those players starting midweek for the CCL, I don't think that they will start this weekend. It's home. That's a big factor leaning towards maybe they will. I think you'll see a lot of panic go around the Discord community on Sunday if both those names are in the lineup, but it doesn't seem worth the risk for me. I like Chicho Arango. I like Cucho. I like Denis Bouan, right? Like, it's not like I'm settling on any of those players. All of those strikers are viable striker options. But they're just so expensive, and it's such a gamble, Messi and Suarez, which is what has me off of it. And that's, like I said, I'm not going to discredit anyone who chooses them. I think if we weren't worried about, if budget wasn't a factor, I think we'd all put Messi on as a bench play. I think there would be a lot of people with Messi as a bench play. But with CCL, now that they're going into CCL, even though it's just at Nashville, so it's not like it's travel, but it is gameplay, and these are old guys, but one of those old guys is the greatest old guy that's ever played soccer. So I'm not shaming the Messi pickup this week. I just can't swing it financially with the other things I want to do.
So it wasn't just a rumor that Hill wasn't going to start.
Right. Porter said it.
Porter who said it. And that's why we were all off of Hill. Anyway, Messi may need 2 minutes. That may, you may be right. But the rest of the team needs 20 minutes to 100%. Get him the pass.
Yeah.
So when you look at the amount of scoring positions he gets into, it's not any more really than the players you named. I mean, everybody on your list and on my list and on Reed's list, they're all pretty much their target forwards. So it's not like, and Messi's not even the target forward. Messi is like a winger. So I don't know, man. Like it's, am I going to have FOMO about Messi? Probably, but am I going to have a differential that's viable? Yes. That's
sure.
Because you know that half of the people playing this game are going to pick Lionel Messi. And the other half are going to pick Luis Suarez. And I just don't think Suarez is going to do shit.
Like,
unless he rests this this CCC game, he's not going to play. Like, he won't be able to. He just, if he does, he's going to suck, just like he did the first two games. So,
oh, I like Eric coming in here with suggesting Joseph Martinez. You know,
oh, yeah, what a great thing.
I mean, hey,
I really enjoy that as a differential, Eric. Actually, that's not bad, especially with the result last week. So, who knows? Yeah, if they're rested, winded, completely B team for this at home, there you go, there you go. That's a bench play for sure. I would say, and a risky bench play with it being the last one of the week. All right. Well, with the question of Messi up in the air, at least for us tonight, who are you all looking at as your captain pick, Ashley?
This one is a tough one for me, but I'm leaning towards Cucho. So I reserve the right to move that armband every which way. But right now, as it sits on the screen that I look at, it's on Cucho.
Christian.
Solidly on Cucho.
Much more confidence than me always.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I was trying to write down the three players who I think might be it. Originally, I put Almada as a number one option, Almada, Cucho, and then whoever else you're having as your other target forward is basically it. I wrote Arango, Bawanga there, but Bupenza, anyone you want to throw in there as whoever that forward option's going to be. The Almada shot was in there with me potentially thinking, what could his goal threat plus bonus point production add up to if everything is not coming solely from Giacomakis during that game? Does he have that potential to be the target goal threat as well as the bonus point maker that will just compound what those points could be? But Cucho could also come in there and have a field day with Chicago, and I can absolutely see that happening with what's going on. So, but I think that's what I'm looking at as maybe your sort of three things up in the air. And again, if Messi Suarez is one of your other players up top, they're in that lineup. And it seems like the consensus here is that we fear the rotation that will happen with Messi this year, will happen with Suarez this year. And is a home game at the end of the week against Montreal when they're planning to do it? I don't know. If this was a road game to Montreal, I would say 100% yes.
I mean, didn't they all have like minor knocks in preseason and not play in big moments and stuff? So it's just like, I don't think it's far out. Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's far out to assume they'll rotate for the weekend. The Tata will rotate for the weekend, but we are assuming, and you know what they say about that.
So we'll see. Go over to chat real quick. Just looking there. Acosta from Meg, shout out there. No, totally see that. Again, just worry about the Mucho Lucho Cucho. Yep, I love that, Patrick. I guess that's our saying this year. We got the Mucho Lucho Cucho MLC. But I totally see Acosta as a viable option as well with his bonus point production going there, with the caveat of, does he start? And that's a late game to weigh on, that if Acosta does not start, what's your backup? Because you'll have to have a backup right there, and your options will be limited if that's what's going on. So, but I love the guy. I've got his autograph right back there. So it's all good. Well, that's all that we have for the show tonight. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. I hope you had a lot of ideas, or at least got those creative juices flowing for how you're going to have your team set up as we go into round three. Let's go ahead and finish things up with our plugs. Ashley.
I don't have any plugs. I couldn't think of something quick enough.
Oh, you have to hold week to plan. It's okay.
It's the thing I plan the least, Reed, and that's you know that.
That's it. The community appreciates it.
Yeah.
Christian.
Oh, I'll just plug the community. How's that?
Right.
Yeah, the Discord community specifically.
Yeah. Short and sweet. I love it. No, short and sweet. Christian will plug the Discord. I'll plug the patrons. Thank you all so much again for your support. Patreon.com/MLSFI. The Discord, MLSFantasyBoss.com/Discord. It all makes up everything that we have here. It is the best soccer community, the fantasy soccer community around. Maybe the best soccer community. I don't know. We can put ourselves up there. But definitely the best fantasy community that we have around. Always happy to have people join the show, and always happy to have new people experience the products that we're putting out there so that you can have fun. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're all about, is even if it comes at the expense of our own results, our own teams, is we're trying to make sure that you have resources so that you can have fun with this game, however you choose to have that, be it homegrown draft leagues, be it pro rel leagues, be it coming in to this game midway through the season because you found a random podcast or heard your buddies talking about it, or just something random in a coffee shop. Who knows? We're here to help you have fun with the game, and that is what it's all about. So thank you again for joining as we get ready for round three. As always, good luck.